Hi, this is Smriti Kirvanandan, your host for Health Forward Podcast. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is to take care of your health. Your road to discovering an all-inclusive, empathetic, and innovative healthcare ecosystem starts right now.
Americans waste $218 billion, approximately 40 million tons of food every year. 40 million Americans are food insecure, including 12 million children. It is time we rethink, repurpose, and reimagine the future of food. Rethink Food is an organization that works with restaurants and food establishments to provide nutritious and culturally celebrated meals for their neighbors and processes millions of pounds of donated food excess from partners across the food system to convert into free community meals at its commissary kitchen. Today, I would be speaking with the founder and CEO of Rethink Food, Matt Chosbiak. Matt, welcome to Health Forward. Such a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Matt, you have this fantastic journey from a childhood in Kansas City to moving to France to now in New York. Please share with us a bit more about what has inspired you to be in the field of food.
That's a really good question. I really appreciate you asking. When I started in food, I was trying to attend the University of Kansas. And like many college kids, I got a job washing dishes. And I immediately fell in love with the culture. Restaurants. The restaurant I worked at was a small fine dining restaurant. And from getting to explore different types of wine, for the first time I ever had lobster, to the first time I ever had fresh pasta, I got to see this very like kind of cultural experience simply by washing dishes. And I fell in love and never looked back.
It's awesome. And where does your passion with food insecurity really start in this journey of yours?
I really set out to learn about how food businesses work. And so I worked at a variety of different places, you know, from Noma and 11 Madison Park to, you know, small catering companies to something that actually resembles a Panera, but wasn't a Panera, to try to understand, like, how do all these food businesses work, like at hotels and stuff like that. And through the process, I realized I was volunteering and doing some work. And I realized that there's this incredible disconnect, probably one of the most ridiculous things, I think, in 100 years to look back and say, this is just totally nuts. But for whatever reason, there's a surplus of food on the same street that there is a community center that doesn't have enough food to feed their population. And it really just completely blew my mind. And I always said, you know, I didn't have a lot of nonprofit experience. So I was going to start with like what seemed like the easiest thing to work on, which it turns out is the easiest thing.
Very impactful. I mean, you and I are discussing about just the abundance and scarcity just on the same road, right? It's just pretty impressive what you're doing. So thank you so much for that, Matt. You have obviously started rethinking and moved into action by creating Rethink Food. What is the strategy behind this?
So our mission is to create a sustainable and equitable food system. And for us, that means it's businesses contributing either money or meals to feed folks in local communities. So we have a certification called Rethink Certified, which any food business can get involved. And it might mean you make, you know, double family meal once a week, make 40 extra meals, 3 trays of food for your local community center. We have restaurants that fundraise on our behalf, and we give that money to restaurants run by people of color in Little Haiti that, you know, they get a chance at making meals for their community center and they get paid to do it. And so we work with a variety of these systems to try to create this mission and to try to create this brand.
That's amazing. And so your strategy, from what I understand, is redirecting the extra food directly from B2B then to B2C. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we're a B2B organization.
So I believe one of the reasons we have excess food is also caused by manufacturing more than the demand. So this poor planning, right? So what are your recommendations to the giant corps on this?
Well, I think that a lot of that comes down to labeling. You know, there's two core opportunities in the food system right now. And I think the first one is educating people on the benefits of donating your food to local community centers, the same way Goodwill and a lot of great organizations were able to do with other things. And the second thing is we need to standardize date labels. They're intentionally, in some instances, seemingly intentionally trying to get people to throw it away. If we could get a point where date labeling was consistent, and then also people realize that, you know, you can use the smell test to kind of figure out what to eat, what not to eat. But it's kind of ridiculous in my mind that a canned ingredient, a shelf-stable ingredient, has an expiration date. You know, it makes no sense.
So in America, we seem to live in this super size me mode, you know, similar to the documentary. Consumers are equally accountable for their actions. What are your recommendations to prevent food waste at an individual level?
It's a really good question. I the thing that we do and I do is I have a waste log in my house, and it's more important than the grocery list. And look, I'm guilty too. And it's vulnerability is important. Like I'm going out of town next week, and I know I can almost guarantee you I will probably throw away some things out of my fridge. It happens. It's okay. It's just trying to be better. But writing down what you throw away. So the next time you go to stores and you're like, I threw away a pint of raspberries, so I'm only going to get one pint of raspberries this time, or, you know, a head of lettuce because I only ate one, you know, and you learn approaching the grocery store that way will give you a better sense, and you'll eventually get it down. You'll never be perfect. We're going to have to add composting at some point. And composting is really hard, especially in New York. But yeah, I think monitoring what you waste is the best way to do it.
I love that. And I'm guilty as well. I'm taking a trip in a couple of days, and I was just looking at my fridge and I was like, wow, either someone has to eat it or it has to go. But I love that you're supposed to proactively track so that we can prevent it before we go to the grocery store. What are some innovative technologies you have come across to mitigate these issues in this field?
There's two things I'm super excited about. There's this software called, actually three, there's a software called Winnow, which uses essentially the same stuff that does face recognition software, but for food, and it puts trash cans on scales. And so like while you're working and people are throwing stuff away, they can see it. And it's the same thing. It generates a waste log. Mm-hmm. A lot of the problem is people don't know, actually realize how much food restaurants and people are throwing out. We go to restaurants all the time and they say, we don't have any food waste. And then we go, can we spend a little bit of time in your kitchen? And we find, you know, hundreds of pounds of food waste. Okay. The second thing I am super excited about from like a small business point of view is Copia. They started in San Francisco, I believe, but they're making it easy for people to donate their excess food. And then say last but not least, on the bigger side, RTS provides dashboards and tracks things, recycle track systems for any corporate, especially in New York. They're an incredible company that does really great data and analytics for that. So those are the best waste log creators I know.
Seems like I need to go do some shopping right out of this conversation, but that's pretty awesome. So Matt, you have partnered with one of the most famous restaurants in New York, which is 11 Madison, to create a truck to mobilize nutritious food to vulnerable communities. Share with us a little bit more about the idea and the strategy behind this.
Yeah, so you know, this was a really unique thing for Rethink. And part of why we wanted to do it, Daniel and I, is that the next generation of chefs is coming out of 11 Madison Park. It's 11 Madison Park is more of really like an educational center. And when the chefs go through 11 Madison Park, they spend time on the food truck. It's mandatory for each employee to do shift there. And they get to interact with community. What it's like to cook for a local community is really, 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 really is soul filling. And so Daniel kind of came up with the idea, and we've been working on it ever since. And we've been doing it 5 days a week for over a year now. And that response has been incredible.
Wow. I love it. I love that all the nutritious food is going to the right place at the right time. It's just so incredible. Thank you for doing that. And food wastage, as you know, Matt, is a climate concern as well due to the greenhouse gas emissions. Do hospitals waste 15% of their food? How do you think hospitals can revisit the food wastage?
Yeah, I mean, I think hospital food, you know, could take a lens. You know, New York, it's starting to get a little more plant-based. I think that would be helpful because, you know, a lot of people, proteins are dangerous. They have higher instances of foodborne illness than plants. And so taking a lens towards plant-based, partnering with their local community, and then increasing the quality of the food. There's this saying that we never say, but like the beggars can't be choosers. Like that's just completely not true. Like people don't eat, no matter what situation you're in, you will not eat something if it is gross. So it can just make the food. I know that's a really simple example, but you can make the food better at hospitals. There'd probably be a lot less food waste.
Simple. So, you know, you and I talk a lot about food insecurity, but I think a lot of people miss the point of nutrition insecurity, right? So we'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big, you know, underlying thing of what Rethink's doing. The thing is, you know, fast food is tapped this market, and we've watched it in our lifetimes, right? Like the dollar menu, the family meal, even the $5 footlong, like these things have come into neighborhoods and really driven people towards less healthy diets because they know that like this is the financial price point. And it was really from like a revenue side point of view, it was smart. But the difference between, you know, medium and high income individuals that died from COVID and low income individuals that died from COVID was directly related to the choices that you can purchase at that in that. So we're advocating for SNAP dollars. There's this bill coming up and people want SNAP dollars to go to for people to be used at restaurants. But our recommendation is that they're only used at restaurants that have less than like five locations so that the local community, which can prepare healthy food, they can eat there opposed from, you know, the fast food chains. Sorry, there's a long way of saying that.
You're right. We have to focus on the disparities and create these community influencers. So, you know, one day relate better. And also, you know, access to nutritious food is critical. So we have a Food Loss and Waste Policy Act in place. How effective do you think it has been? And furthermore, what needs to really change in this policy?
We are going to realize the downstream cost of food waste in an incredible way. And like we're in the bullet train heading towards our own consequences. And it is going to get, you know, from folks that are no longer to live in their regions in the world because it's too hot, to unable to grow avocados, you know, and when an avocado costs $25, people are going to start saying, well, we should really think about it. And we're really heading that way. And I think making it mandatory for businesses to do something with their food excess or any of their food waste is just, it's so necessary. And if you could imagine a waste stream, if there was no food waste in the waste stream, the trucks would be cleaner. They would require less maintenance. It's 100% the way that we have to go. And unfortunately, businesses aren't prioritizing it. So it's going to have to become mandatory and there will be have to be some federal laws in place to do that.
Yeah. Matt, somewhere I read about this beautiful story about sharing this delicious meal with one of your pets, maybe a dog, I think. And you realized the power of empowerment and the power of food at that given moment. Share with me a little bit more about this story.
I was really struggling to pay for college and I had this job and it was me, my roommate and our dog too. And we were sitting in this little house in Lawrence, Kansas, and like we were eating like it felt like millionaires, you know, like it was like leftover risotto. There was a couple of scallops and then there was a couple of bottles of wine, like a fourth of a bottle of wine that didn't get sold on that Sunday night. We weren't open until Wednesday. And like that just like little instance always got me really excited about the idea. Good food's like a treat, you know, and we have so much of it around that it can really go a long way just from not just the sustenance and the nutrition, but there's a human element that I think it's taken out of it. One instance I thought was incredible during COVID was horrible, right? Like especially the first 12 weeks for food insecurity folks facing food insecurity. But we worked with Keen's Steakhouse and they dry aged their steaks, the best steak in New York City, 45 days. And after that time period, they couldn't do anything with the steaks. So we got dry aged steaks. And then we had a lobster company that like shut down. They had frozen lobster in bags. So we did surf and turf. Like the plate of food would have cost like $300 if we bought it for like all of these community centers across New York. And it was just, people were just like, it was crazy. It was incredible. So there's these beautiful things that happen when you match it all up.
Yeah. So sharing and equity clearly is a core value of Rethink. What are your plans in the next few years? And do you have plans of scaling globally?
We want it easy so anybody can get involved. A big part of our mission is to create an equitable food system. And a lot of things that happen, you know, especially in this, you know, we distributed over $30 million to businesses owned by women and people of color in the neighborhoods that we serve. And that money just goes so much further in those neighborhoods. And so we've developed a program that we're kind of internally calling Family Meal. We continue to give grants to these restaurants to make meals, but encouraging more, giving more grants, smaller grants to more restaurants to get them involved. And we're lobbying and trying to get involved in getting more government funding for like school food contracts, older adults, all these, you know, other possible sources of revenue to go to like Les Jardins in Little Haiti in Miami, like a $400,000 contract to her is like game changer. But to Airmark, it's like pennies, you know? So we really want to see a little more equity in the government contracting space.
Love it. This brings me to my last question. If you had to share three takeaways for the future of food, what would that be?
I think the future of food is going to be a lot more communal. I'll say that. I think people are going to be engaged with food in a lot of different ways. The second thing, I think that restaurants are going to be rebranded. And I'm going to combine my second and third this because I really believe in this. And this is something Danny Meyer said to me, and I remember, I'll never forget it, is restaurants just need to be rebranded. they're not horrible places. Yes, we've all seen the bear, and like there are some people like that. And there are some restaurants where people yell at people, but like they're really magical places where communities come together, cultural traditions are preserved and handed down. People can get odd jobs and, you know, work a couple of days a week. People eat. And we really need to start looking at restaurants as the best nonprofits, the best community centers that actually exist, opposed from, you know, these horrible places where somebody gets yelled at sometimes.
Right. So. Yeah, moving away from the health kitchen mindset. Love it. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure having you.
Likewise. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening. This is Health Forward Podcast, and I'm your host, Smriti Kirbanandan.